Please be seated.
In the nightmare of the dark, all the dogs of Europe bark, and the living nations wait, each sequestered in their hate. When W.H. Auden wrote those words in 1940, the world was plunging into a horrific war, the Second World War in just a couple of decades, a war that with the other would take well over 100 million lives. And people wonder, would things ever change? Would there ever be peace between nations, peace between men? Well, the next few decades were not much different. There were conflicts around the world here and there, so much to the point that a generation later, in 1981, a Hindu by the name of Satish Kumar wrote in his prayer for peace these words: "Lead me from death to life, from falsehood to truth. Lead me from despair to hope, from fear to trust. Lead me from hate to love, from war to peace. Let peace fill our heart, our world, our universe." Deep in our hearts, we know something is wrong. Everywhere we look, we see conflict, strife, violence, racism, greed, jealousy, hatred. We know the world is not as it should be. And when we're honest with ourselves, we know that frequently we are not as we should be. The question facing us today is as old as humanity itself. Why is there so much hatred in the world? The obvious answer is also the correct answer: sin. And before you wave that off as religious cliche or preacher speak, consider the following explanation that an old retired preacher and Bible professor at Harding shares. Because sin is in the world, God wars against us. The Bible says, "For this cause cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." Ephesians 5:6. God's wrath is an objective force now working against the sons of men. Because of sin, the angels war against us in executing God's judgment. The earth wars against us in barrenness, floods, earthquakes, and volcanoes. God said, "Cursed is the ground." Genesis 3:17. The atmosphere wars against us in its storms, lightnings, and winds breathing pestilence. The beasts of the field war against men, thirsting for their blood and pursuing them as prey. Our fellows war against us in slander, robbery, oppression, and murder. We even war against ourselves. Our passions enslave and destroy us. Our consciences torment us with stinging remorse. Peace, peace. If ever was a time when men needed peace, it is now. When Jimmy Allen said those words, they were true. And a generation later, they remain true. Hatred is just one of the many horrible consequences unleashed by sin. The first instance of sin unleashing hatred involved the children of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. You'll note in Genesis chapter 4, in the very first recorded occasion of worship, half of the participants got it wrong. And surely there's some lesson to be drawn from that. We don't really know exactly what was going on. The Bible doesn't tell us. I was brought up as a kid saying, well, see, Abel offered an animal sacrifice and Cain offered the fruit of the land. But it doesn't say that God specified that. God said something to them. Maybe it was the type of offering that they made in worship. Maybe it was the amount. Maybe it was the heart that went behind the offering. Maybe Cain was just thinking about the football game later that day and his mind wasn't on whatever it was he was doing. We don't know, the fact is. But here's something that we do know. God stepped in, and God looked upon Abel's offering with favor, but he rejected Cain's. And instead of taking that correction in the spirit in which God was offering it, Cain became angry. He became angry that his form of worship wasn't acceptable. So he found the one that was doing the other form of worship, who happened to be his brother, and he killed him. You say, well, you know, people are beyond that today. Are they? You recognize this married couple. They're the ones who took the automatic weapons in San Bernardino and started shooting a bunch of people they didn't know. A bunch of people who are innocent. You know why? Because there is still a strain in the world today. Sometimes it's Muslims. Sometimes it's Christians. Sometimes it's Hindus or other religions. But they become so angry that someone's interpretation of God differs from theirs, or someone's form of worship is not exactly like theirs, that they're willing to kill over it. Now just pause for a moment and try to get your arms around that. We're coming to the God of all creation and giving Him praise and glory and honor. And as a takeaway from that, we're ready to kill someone that disagrees with us. Friends, skip worship if that's the conclusion you're going to reach. Just sit at home and eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you will die. There's something wrong when even something as sacred as worship can be used as a cudgel to inflict hatred on others. Well, the Bible is very explicit in saying that we cannot live as Christians and have hatred in our hearts. You can't. You cannot be a hate-filled Christian. It's a contradiction in terms. Notice some of the things that the Bible says, from Old to New Testament alike. In Leviticus chapter 19, do not hate your brother in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly so that they will not share, and you will not share in their guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. 1 John 3 and verse 15, anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. Proverbs 10:12 says that hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers a multitude of wrongs. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. 1 John 2 and verse 11, but whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded him. Hebrews 12:15 says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. And Ephesians 4:31 reminds us to get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Friends, we could be here until the middle of next month if we read every verse in the Bible that essentially says the same thing. But here's what it says. Get rid of hatred. Embrace love. If we're interested in doing this, the Bible gives us a plan. It offers a prescription. It tells us that we can get rid of hatred from our hearts if we will fill our hearts up with the love of God. And that's not something that is transferable to something else. You see, nature abhors a vacuum, which is a scientific way of saying that empty spaces don't remain empty for very long. Something is going to rush in and fill that empty place. It's either going to be something good, or it's going to be something bad. Jesus tells a brilliant story regarding this dynamic in Luke chapter 11. Let's look at it together. In Luke 11, beginning in verse 24, Jesus says, "When an unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest. And finding none, it says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when it comes, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first." But notice a couple of things here. He starts off talking about a house, and then he mentions a person. He's not talking about a house. He's talking about people all along. And he says, when that person is filled up with evil, you've got to get rid of the evil. Okay? Now, how does that apply in practical terms? Well, maybe we have been making a pet out of a particular sin for a while. And maybe for one person, that pet is alcohol. Another, it's drugs. Another, it's pornography or something similar to that. And that person has decided that I can be a Christian, but I can do this as well. But you can't. As long as that's there, your relationship with God will be compromised. Let's say that that person has an epiphany. They say, you know, I've got to quit going out and getting drunk. I've got to quit going out and getting high. I've got to quit spending all of this time on the internet looking at pornography. I've got to stop that, and I've got to go cold turkey. So they quit. And they don't do those things for a while. Maybe a day. Maybe 3 days. Maybe a week. Maybe a month. But here's the key. They don't replace those destructive activities with things that are constructive. And they leave their life empty. What does Jesus say the result will be? He says, you're going to go back doing the same thing, and this time it's going to be worse. Because seven other evil spirits are coming along for the ride. Here's the moral of the story. If there's something bad in your life going on, pray for God's help to get rid of it. But for God's sake, and I mean that literally, fill it with something that the Lord instructs you to do. Now, we want to talk about those negatives, okay? Let's talk about one more negative. Hatred. That's about the biggest negative of all. Maybe if hatred has had too much of a place in your life, if you spend more time thinking about the people that you don't like rather than the people that you do, maybe that applies as well. And maybe it's time to take Jesus at his word and to replace the bad things with good things. You know, let's say that there have been 20 hours in the week that you've been spending pursuing sin. Take those 20 hours and do something positive with them. Maybe that's time to read God's word. Maybe that's time to pray. Maybe that's time to serve someone else. Maybe that's time to go visit someone who's shut in and bringing some sunshine into their lives. Maybe you go and visit the sick. Maybe you go and volunteer to feed the homeless or to work at a soup kitchen or to mentor a young man that doesn't have a father. You take that time that you've been spending doing destructive things, and you start doing positive things. And friends, the same thing is true of rooting out hatred in our hearts. That has to be pushed away, and it has to be filled with things that are good. Now, understand something. For some people, this is simply theory. You say, well, yeah, it'd be nice if I could do that, but that probably can't be done. That's not realistic. And yet, it is. The power available to the person who fills their heart with God's love is stronger than the power that we see in nuclear weapons, if we will but do it. That can pierce the hardest heart and bring a person back to the foot of the cross as no other power on earth can do. And friends, we don't have to wonder, is that possible? If you'll open your eyes and look around, you will see examples where precisely this has been accomplished by the help of God. Go back in time to the date of June the 17th, 2015, Charleston, South Carolina. On that night at the Emmanuel AME Church, members were gathered for their Wednesday night Bible study. There weren't a lot of people, just a couple of dozen in all. But there was a young man that came in for the first time. They'd never seen him before. He was a little conspicuous because as all the members of the church were black, he was white. But the members there extended an open-armed invitation for him to join them anytime. They were kind to him. They were welcoming to him. They practiced hospitality as they studied God's word. And then they concluded their service with a prayer. And as the study ended, with the members' heads bowed and their eyes closed in prayer, the visitor took out a gun and he opened fire. And in a hail of bullets, 9 black parishioners were slain by a white visitor, a 21-year-old by the name of Dylan Roof. Why? All kinds of reasons were offered. Some said the Confederate flag. Others said racism. Still others said free access to guns. Others said bad parenting. Others said a permissive society. Maybe some or all of these reasons contributed to it. Maybe none. I don't know. You don't know. I doubt that anyone knows. But we do know ultimately what caused it. Hatred. Hatred is what caused this. Jesus says, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. It's sin. And when sin takes root in the human heart, it chokes out everything else. And we become capable of just about anything. But hatred did not have the final word at the Emmanuel AME Church. Love and forgiveness did. Days after Roof's murderous rampage, the killer went through a video arraignment in front of the relatives of the victims. One by one, they stood up. And they did something remarkable. They offered forgiveness to the man accused of murdering their sons, mothers, and grandfathers in cold blood. I read the account from England's newspaper, The Guardian, in a place where Christianity is about as irrelevant as it can be. And they were dumbfounded. And they covered the arraignment, and they covered the words of those families that had been so wounded and so aggrieved with palpable shock and befuddlement. Here's part of their account. You took something very precious from me, but I forgive you. Ethel, Lance's daughter, said through the tears, it hurts me. You hurt a lot of people, but may God forgive you. Speaking of her son, Tywanza Sanders, who was also killed that Wednesday night trying to shield his great aunt from gunfire. Felicia Sanders said to the suspect, "We welcome you Wednesday night into our Bible study with open arms. You have killed some of the most beautifulest people that I know. Every fiber in my body hurts. I will never be the same." She continued, "Tywanza was my hero, but as they say in the Bible study, we enjoyed you, but may God have mercy on your soul." Roof stood still in an oversized black and gray striped inmate's uniform as Judge James Gosnell requested a representative from each family if they wished to make a formal statement. And the 21-year-old was flanked by two heavily armored officers throughout the hearing. He uttered very few words, confirming his age, employment status, and address in a timid baritone. As successive relatives stood to offer him forgiveness, he expressed no emotion, staring down and occasionally into the camera inside a cell. Court officials later confirmed that Roof could see into the courtroom and heard each of the speeches, but could not see the relatives who stood just a few feet away from the judge, out of his view. Alana Simmons, the granddaughter of the 74-year-old retired pastor Daniel Simmons, stood after Sanders. She said, "Although my grandfather and the other victims died at the hands of hate, this is proof that they lived and loved. Hate won't win." In all, five representatives of the nine people killed in the massacre spoke at the hearing, with President Obama tweeting shortly after the hearing that the decency and goodness of the American people shines through in these families. And surely he was telling the truth in saying that. He added, "The apparent motivations of the shooter remind us that racism remains a blight that we have to combat together." And that small courthouse in Charleston was packed full of relatives and family members and friends who had arrived earlier in the afternoon in small groups, walking through the sweltering 95-degree temperature outside, flanked by sheriff deputies and taking no questions from media. In an opening statement, the judge asked Roof's family to be acknowledged as they were also victims of his crime. And one of the men, Anthony Thompson, the grandson of the 59-year-old Myra Thompson, said to Roof, "We would like you to take this opportunity to repent. Repent. Confess. Give your life to the one who matters most, Christ, so that he can change your ways, so that no matter what happens to you, you will be okay." Later, Roof's family issued its first public statement since the shooting. They said, "We have all been touched by the moving words from the families of the victims, offering God's forgiveness and love in the face of such horrible suffering." I ask you again, is it possible to push hate out of your heart and let God's love flood in? It is. It's one thing to read these words. It's another thing to hear them. Listen closely for the next couple of moments.
"I forgive you. You took something very precious away from me. I would never talk to her ever again. I would never be able to hold her again. But I forgive you. And have mercy on your soul. You hurt me. You hurt a lot of people. But God forgive you. And I forgive you.
I forgive you, my family forgive you. But we would like you to take this opportunity to repent. Repent. Confess. give your life to the one who matters the most, Christ, so that he can change it, can change your ways no matter what happened to you, and you'll be okay. Do that, and you'll be better off than what you are right now.
We welcome you Wednesday night in our Bible study with open arms. You have killed some of the most beautifulest people that I know. Every fiber in my body hurts. And I'll never be the same. Tawanza Sanders is my son, but Tawanza was my hero. Tawanza was my hero. But as we say in Bible study, we enjoyed you, but may God have mercy on you.
You think it's possible for love to push out hate? Friends, you just saw it. Imagine that someone took the people that were the closest and most precious to you in this world and they murdered them in cold blood. Could you stand up and tell that person that you're praying for them, that you forgive them, that you love them? I propose that outside of the power of God, this is impossible. But with the power of God, all things are possible. Whatever it is that's causing us to go in the wrong direction, we can change. With God's help, we can change. John 13, 34 and 35 says this, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Friends, there are marching orders. We simply have to come to God and let Him take control. Let's stand and sing together.